This is episode 150 of Extraordinary Women Radio. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. I hope you are staying happy, healthy, and well through this quarantine time in our homes. It's been a beautiful spring week here in Colorado, so I've been able to do some workout on my patio in the sunshine, and that has really helped fill up my cup. I hope you're getting some fresh spring air, some outdoor nature time, some sunshine, and I feel like it's so important that we make space for that to take care of ourselves as we are in this trying time. Today, I'm thrilled to bring you the CEO of the Colorado Technology Association, Franny Matthews. Franny spent 18 years with IBM and served as the IBM Senior Location Executive for Denver. She has over a decade of sales management and leadership experience with regional high-performance teams. She has a passion for helping the next generation and a particular interest in STEM education. Franny has served as a board member for the University of Colorado Wellness Center and was on the board of Colorado Technology Association before becoming their CEO. In 2018, Governor John Hickenlooper appointed Franny to the Colorado Workforce Development Council. She also serves on the board of directors for TECNA, the Technology Councils of North America. I was honored to stand on the stage with Franny just a few months ago as we were named to the Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce 25 Most Powerful Women in Business. This interview was a great way to get to know Franny a bit more, and her wisdom is so good. I know you will enjoy meeting her. Let's meet Franny Matthews of the Colorado Technology Association. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Franny. It is so great to have you join us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Cami.
Oh, and it was such an honor to share the stage at the Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce Top 25 Most Powerful Women with you back in February. What an honor that was.
Oh, it was a magical night. It really was. And my daughters were there and my husband, of course, and it just at our table, it was just really magical.
You know, same with me. My son flew into town from Portland, and my hubby had been out of town and he flew back into town just for a couple of days so he could be there. And it was just such an honor. And wow, when you look at the women that were on that stage, it was just such an honor.
I felt the same way. And it's been great in the last couple of months to connect with many of them that
exactly.
I had maybe known in passing, but that, you know, that whole thing kind of gave us a special connection.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's going to be the fun part of this is how we get to all really be together on the other side of all of this and continue to build those relationships. I know they've put some formal things together for that, and I'm super excited to learn more about that.
I am too.
Yeah. And you know, it was only 2 months ago, but it seems like a lifetime ago and so much has happened. How are you doing right now through all these challenging times?
You know, I think for all of us, it changes moment to moment. And sometimes you'll be just on a roll and you feel like you've got it by the tail as far as a direction on, you know, plans for moving forward on particular things. And then, you know, you kind of, everybody has a slump. And I'm seeing that with the team that the greatest thing is that everybody's bolstering one another. And so when
yes.
somebody's a little bit down or scared, you know, the rest of the team is there doing, you know, positive things to help everyone.
You know, it's interesting because my clients have been the same, right? So I run a mastermind group and it's, you know, this circle of really powerful women doing great things. And the emotions that, you know, come and go, the ebb and flow through this. And I set up very early on, I set up a Marco Polo group for them to be able to lean into each other in a deeper way, which is just proven to be such a beautiful way to leverage technology. And for them to be able to show up however they are at any given moment and then have that support. And you know, the ebb and flow that has happened is like one day somebody might be down and the next somebody, you know, and somebody else is up. And so they really balance each other out. And it's,
I think that's so important for all of us right now to be able to be in space and just recognize where we happen to be and honor that and not to try to push through it.
Yeah, that's right. And I probably inherently try to push through more than I should.
Mm-hmm. You and me both. Also,
yeah. This is a grieving process for all
right.
of us.
Right. And some days we just need to go on a walk.
That's right. Yeah. And that even brings up your assumptions because, you know, once I start working for the day, you know, taking a break in the middle of the day seems, like you're breaking a rule or something. And I'm like, what is wrong with me?
And maybe this is something that's going to shift for us. This is my hope is that we are, we are experiencing the go, go, go that we all have in us. And if we step back and be in this in a different way and, you know, we're in our homes with our loved ones and there's this space of being able to maybe shift things as we step out of this.
We're all questioning assumptions right now, that's for sure. And our patterns have been broken up. I mean, me as a human being, I want to see the patterns and now a lot of them are gone. And so it heightens your experience because you're kind of looking for them.
Right.
And I'm noticing things that I didn't notice before.
Right, right. Exactly. I am as well. And I think I'm finding clarity on how I want to lead and how I want to be. And I'm making different types of choices right now. And I think that's fun for me. How is it changing how you're leading with CTA right now?
Well, the fundamentals haven't changed. And by that, I mean our goal and mission. And so that is the cornerstone. We're here to make sure that tech thrives in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I'm passionate about that because I feel like it's the foundation for our middle class. These are where there's a lot of well-paying jobs. And whether you're centrally in tech or, you know, just tech is all around you, we need a digitally literate workforce. And so that it really charges me. But the day-to-day functionality of how you lead is a little bit different. One thing that I am real clear on is communication, communication, communication. Mm-hmm. And so we have ritualized some of that. We've always had stand-ups in the morning on just, you know, exchanging information, but we have a Zoom meeting every morning as we start our day and ritualize the process for that and make sure that there's a lot of clarity. And I think that I'm always a transparent leader, but I'm more transparent than I have been in the past.
And you know, one thing I love that I want to point out that you're saying is that you ritualize this, and that feels really good to me. What does that mean to you?
Well, we do, you know, like our meetings are at the same time every day, and we always start our meetings with high fives. So, you know, complimenting what other people have done. And I'm kind of funny because I don't, and we kind of joke about this, is that I don't give participation grades. So this is about, you know, really doing good work. So when there's compliments, that it's meaningful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think gratitude is infinite. And I think that recognizing excellence, that, you know, there's a standard with that, that is a little bit different than gratitude. So in our high fives, some of it's gratitude and some of it is, man, you knocked it out of the park.
Nice.
And I think it's a great way to start your day. The other ritual that we have just started, is talking at the end of the day via Slack on what are you most proud of today? Hmm. And, you know, it may be something, you know, one of mine was that I was really proud that I connected somebody that really desperately needs to swim with somebody that had a pool that she could swim in and still social distance.
Nice.
And nice. So, you know, and it made a difference for her in her, I mean, it makes a huge difference in her mobility. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so it's those kind of things. We also started a Slack channel called Water Cooler. And that's just, you know, fun, cute. Maybe it's memes, maybe it's a recipe, maybe it's just a picture of, you know, your breakfast that looked really good. But it's kind of that personal connection that really has nothing to do with business.
And I think that the way technology comes in and supports us through this time is so interesting. I mean, if this would have happened to us 10 years ago, so many of these tools would not have been here, right? I mean, it's Slack, Marco Polo, even Zoom, I don't think was around 10 years ago. We're very fortunate that this enables us to connect on different levels today.
I just had that conversation yesterday. We did a webinar on, you know, kind of a DevOps or a dev and application, you know, general development and what this looks like in putting projects together. And we had the conversation about being able to remain productive. If this had happened 10 years ago, we would have been in a much different situation. But I think that there's, while it's been incredibly difficult, we adapted pretty quickly.
Nice. And another tool that comes to mind for me is Asana is a big piece for me. I mean, that one is, you know, with my team and working with my team and keeping projects on track, you know, and there's just so many beautiful tools like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to get into a little bit more about you. You tell me that the small, seemingly insignificant things that have had a big impact on you and where you are in your life. Can you tell us more about these? You know, what are these small things that really have created big impact for you?
I think it's easy to miss the canvas of our life and what's on that canvas that you may not be, you know, having any control over. But, you know, one example of that would be that I grew up in Orlando, Florida. And at the time, it was during the height of the space program. And so math and science permeated our local economy. Martin Marietta, which is now part of Lockheed, was a huge employer in South Orlando. And so many of my teachers had come out of aerospace or engineering that had decided that they wanted to teach. And many of my friends' parents worked in that environment. And so I really didn't pay much attention to it until I got older and thought, not everybody had that experience. So I'm very comfortable with technology. I'm very comfortable with math and science. And a lot of it is that I was in a petri dish that really promoted that.
You know what I love about that? And I mentioned to you that my client, Dana Kirchmar, she's literally a rocket scientist, and she's moving into this space of changing up conversations with young women in the world of STEM. And one of the things she loves to say is what if we quit asking our young girls if they're good at math? What if we changed that conversation up and just invited them into the conversations? And that seems like what exactly has happened for you.
Yeah, it was just an assumption that I could do it. I was never told certainly that I couldn't do it.
Right.
And when I hear that, I cringe. I cringe when I hear somebody say they're not good at math.
Right. And that's what she does too. So she said, we need to stop asking people that question. So I love that. And so you were in this space and you were in this, I mean, how you ended up in that time was probably no accident, first of all, there in the mix of all of that.
Well, and I my parents were kind of, they were wonderful. And my dad had been a World War II vet and put himself through college and medical school on the GI Bill. And so he was a guy that I always saw. Both my parents, but they would take chances. They would try new things. My dad was an explorer. And so I it wasn't one thing. It was a series of things that I just grew up with that really made a big difference. And sometimes it's not a positive experience. I mean, you know, I had a first grade teacher that divided the group up for reading groups, turtles and the monkeys. And I was in the Turtles reading group, and it was very apparent to all of us that we were the slower learners mm-hmm. for reading. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I am uncomfortable reading in public. Now, I have practiced and practiced and practiced to get over it, but I feel it. I now every once in a while I'll go in and you know, if I'm going to have to read in public, I'll go down in my basement and practice by myself reading the Gettysburg Address mm-hmm. or, you know, a speech by Martin Luther King or a speech by Kennedy and just to get myself revved up and out of my lizard brain over it.
You know, and it's interesting how, you know, experiences like that from our childhood can carry forward for so long, or any time in our life, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be from our childhood. It can be any time. I mean, I remember at one point I had a boss say to me that I wasn't strategic. And I was like, I carried that label for a long, long time. And yeah. when I finally realized that how I was very strategic in very different ways, you know, I was able to see, you know, take very complex things and make meaning out of it. And I changed the language that I use. Right. And so as you even saying, it's like, you know, I didn't think I was a good reader. Well, you look at it and you change the language, the way we talk about these labels that we may have come up with somewhere along the way, and we can reshape those.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great example of a thing that could have been seemingly insignificant that was significant, and you turned it.
Right, right. So looking for those stories that we continually tell ourselves over and over again in our head from some experience somewhere along the way, and then seeing it through a different lens can be really powerful. So how do we get to extraordinary, Franny?
Well, I find it, I have found this one through some of my mentoring on just trying to, you know, explain on how, you know, how you get your journey going the way you want it to go. And it requires more than just showing up, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that there's sometimes a misconception that it's easier for other people, that other people are naturals, and, you know, it's hard. It's hard work to be extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And for me, and I don't want to sound like I'm self-deprecating, but it's not like there's a lot of things that I am like super good at right from the get-go. It's just that I work hard to get there.
Right.
And you know, I'm not a great athlete, but I can practice long enough to be pretty good at something. I'm a really good hula hooper.
Oh, that's awesome. I've never been able to master that one.
Exactly. Another insignificant thing, but that's muscle memory from fifth grade, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that what is required for being extraordinary is really that passion and the discipline to go after it. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes people that have natural abilities wind up kind of squandering them because they don't necessarily have the passion behind it, and creativity. I think when you have to struggle through something, you find creative ways to solve. One of my favorite books is Grit by Angela Duckworth. Really great book that talks about.
I don't think I've read that one. And it's Angela Duckworth.
Yeah, it's an awesome book, and it, you know, it's you know, I'm a C or you know, I'm a B plus person that can get to an A mm-hmm. by just you know, just keep going at it. So I think that sometimes we as individuals might not know what the bar is to get to extraordinary.
That's interesting. Well, when I saw that you like to talk about the word extraordinary, that really made me excited, obviously, because it's Extraordinary Women Radio. And so I just thought, what a perfect opportunity to take this. So what you're saying here is that, you know, we can be ordinary. Or we can work hard at it, and we can have the perseverance and the grit to stay at it on these things that we're really passionate about, and that's where extraordinary comes from.
It is. And it's also making choices on it. There's some things that I'm okay being ordinary at.
Right.
You know, folding laundry, I am ordinary.
You and me both. My husband might say that I'm actually subordinary, but...
You know, the fitted sheet, I don't care if it's crammed in the laundry, in the, linen closet. I just don't care.
Right, right, right. So, and picking and choosing the things that really matter to us.
Right.
And
right.
As we start to step into these things that we can be extraordinary on because we are persistent at it and we keep doing the work behind that, where does the confidence come from, you know, when we can really own confidence in that, in those spaces?
Well, you know, a couple areas, and this is, again, something that I've become wiser on is that knowing I'm very grateful for the amount of positive reinforcement I had as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so important for a foundation. And when you grow up with it, you know, and then you get older and you see not everybody had it, it really causes you pause and empathy and taking action when you see extraordinary, when you see that somebody might be wavering on confidence and they're just doing an awesome job. You know, I think that is one thing, is just that I was lucky enough to have a foundation. The other thing is preparation. One example, when I was at IBM, I was asked to speak on a big win that we had to about, there were probably close to 10,000 people in the audience. And I had never spoken to any group that was bigger than 100. And I practiced. I did my first run at it with my daughter. And she's like, "Mom, that's terrible."
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, ouch. But, you know, I love truth tellers. And she said it nicely. It was,
mm-hmm. And it's better to do it in front of your daughter with the terrible versus the 10,000 people.
That's exactly right. And she was taking debate at the time. She said, "You need to make them laugh, make them cry, make them think."
Good advice. How old was your daughter when she gave you that advice?
Oh, 16.
Oh my, that's awesome. I love it.
So I rewrote the whole thing and I, you know, was much more emphasis on the story and the emotion that was going on. And at the end, if it went well, I gave myself permission to recite a poem that my dad had taught me when I was little. And that was, you know, it wasn't like I was trying to make them cry necessarily, but I wanted to connect with the audience. And so I worked hard on that. And when I got up on stage, the day before, we had the opportunity to go in and look at the stage. And there were other executives there that wouldn't get up and practice. And I got up on stage and I mouthed the words. I kind of blocked how I was going to move. And I watched other much higher level than I was in the organization not doing that.
Right.
I got up and nailed it. And I saw those same people nervous and stuttering and, you know, and it was all about giving themselves confidence in that space. And if they had had the, you know, the humility to do it, they would have done much better.
That's a really good lesson there. I love this story. And I think that finding the space to go out and risk being in a space that feels uncomfortable can really reap bigger rewards on the other side of that.
Yes. We got to take risks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know you talk about the dynamic equation, the relationship with money, risk, and time. What does that mean?
Well, I think we need to spend more money. Let's just spend more money.
Oh,
actually, in today's environment, it would be a good thing if we just spent more money. I think we need to spend more time thinking about relationship with money.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, it's an exchange mechanism. And it's really
energy, right?
Yes,
money is energy.
That's exactly right. And so I kind of look at it, you know, like, and it's a tool. So when I look at my relationship with money, there are things that it provides me with choice. I like that. There are things that it provides for security. Mm-hmm. It provides me an opportunity to help other people. It provided me an opportunity to help my kids, right? As they were growing up. Mm-hmm. But it also has, you know, if you're giving up everything else for money, for me, that would be missing the point.
Yes.
So I've always looked at it as kind of a balance. And the time and money, I mean, if you're spending your time, which is really the gating factor for all of us, we all get the same amount of time. And you're spending your time being miserable, but you're making a lot of money, doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
If you're spending your time making money and ignoring those things that are really important to you, that doesn't make any sense to me. Right. And I think that we do better if we pause and really understand that. And risk is in there too. I'm not a highly risky person. However, I spent most of my career in sales because I did the math on it and realized that, you know, I could make more money selling than if I, you know, wasn't on a commissioned plan. And so I was willing to take that risk of maybe not making as much, you know, guaranteed money, that, you know, I did something that I liked and was rewarded for it. And the other thing about relationship with money is, for me, I want to be fairly compensated.
Right.
And I am not shy to ask for it.
Yes. Yes. And that's awesome. And I think there's a maybe a fourth component to this dynamic equation that really ties to us standing in our values, our passion, the work, how we're meant to make an impact on this world. And if you're balancing all of these components in here, then I think that, you know, you're stepping up and you're taking bigger risks because you believe in something. You're putting that belief behind you. You're spending your time on things that are meaningful to you. And then when you do that, you're stepping into this space of owning. And I think this is really important. Owning owning what our time is worth and the value that we bring to our world. And so that's where the relationship with money really kind of ties around that in such a beautiful way.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I see a lot of anxiety when that it really isn't really looked at a personal level.
And, you know, I can think back to my corporate days where, you know, there was some things that I was doing. I was making amazing money, but I was off of alignment with how I was making an impact. So, you know, there's these shifts that we can take when we align all these components of who we are, how we're meant to make a difference, and really step into it and, you know, step into the value that we bring into the world.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of it is that, yeah, it's not a long-term game. There are times that, you know, you might wind up taking a job or doing something that in the short term is going to work to meet your goals. But if you get stuck there and you're miserable and you're not, you know, passionate about it and you're not meeting your personal goals for making an impact, that's kind of miserable.
And some of it can be, it's not to say that those times you might even be gaining skill sets that you really need for that, whatever's next for you. And I think that's an important part of that journey.
I completely agree. And, you know, from a career planning perspective, you don't want to be pivoting, you know, on a hairpin.
Right.
It needs to be thoughtful. And, you know, I remember making a decision, you know, about 4 years ago that, you know what, I think I'm probably ready for my next chapter. Mm. And I started to build those things. I got more involved in the community in Colorado and did a lot of exploration and was quite frank with people. I would have lunch and say, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, kind of doing something else.
You planted the seeds.
Exactly. And it's part of intention on, on opening that up to the world, and people come back with you to you with ideas.
Right, right. So at that 4 years ago, where were you?
I was at IBM.
Okay, you were at IBM then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was
okay.
at IBM, and I really was enjoying my work, but I had been in technology, sales leadership for a long time, and it was just a time that kind of that epic, part of my life was, I was ready to go do something else.
Yeah. And my guess is it was probably really an expansive feeling when you did make that shift into CTA.
Really expansive.
Right.
I had been on that was one of the things I was on the board of CTA before. And when the opening came, it was like light bulb. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, maybe that's it. But that was not without consternation, because I had like a knot in my gut saying, oh, is this the right thing to do? And it was
sure.
such a big change. And
right. There's the risk component of that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I had a beautiful conversation with Kristen Russell, who's with Arrow Electronics and used to be the CIO of the state of Colorado. And she's, it was like, there's a really fine line between butterflies in your stomach and that knot.
Yep. Yep. And going, what the heck did I just do? Or is this exciting?
Yep. So it's been like, opening up a bottle of champagne has been a wonderful almost 2 years.
That's so exciting. I love it. I love stories like that.
I do too. I love the, because when it's in your body and in your heart, all the consternation, and you just like, it feels good.
Yes. Yes. So you talk about the digital world can really distort our truth. Tell us more what you mean by that.
Well, even the COVID, how we're viewing COVID, I don't know if it distorts the truth, but it distorts it in a way we're not used to. Our world has become very globally small.
Mm-hmm.
And so where we've had, flu, the 2017-18 flu, we had 80,000 deaths in the United States in that.
That's a lot.
We didn't even it's horrible that was not on people's radar.
You're right.
And so now we have this instantaneous view of the world and view of data. And, we have, it's been personalized. And so in many respects, that is a more truthful, depiction of what's really going on that we haven't had in the past. If it was happening in Africa, it was over there somewhere. Right.
Right,
and it
right.
was very depersonalized. And that our world will never be that way again. But on the other hand, that we have this distortion, and a lot of it is around social media,
right.
where, you see the best foot forward, always displayed. And I think there's a lot of anxiety, particularly among younger people, that there's a more beautiful life over on the other side that I'm not having. And I had an experience with, we were helping my daughter put a greenhouse together that we actually had given her for her birthday. And I actually was not involved in it. I showed up at the last minute. It was a 9-hour endeavor. And by the time I got there, everybody was frustrated. But the Instagram post that I put up was so cute. And it looked beautiful.
Like so you missed the whole frustration part, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, oh, look at this. Isn't this awesome? And after I put it up, I thought, oh my gosh, that is so untruthful.
That's so funny. And that's a really good lesson for all of us to be thinking about, right? Is how do we show up really true to who we are in the good, the bad, and the ugly? And that becomes much more real.
Yeah. Yeah, I've shown up on Facebook with some pretty bad hat hair. You know, yeah, it's, you know, but I do think it's worthwhile for everybody to understand that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I think this is an interesting time too for us to really practice that, because we can show up just who we are and where we are in this point at this. And it's really important, I think, that, you know, kind of where we started this conversation was, is that we're all, there's ups, there's downs, there's good days, there's bad days through this right now. And letting people know that it's not all on the positive side, I think, is really important through this.
Yeah. Yeah. I test out as the optimist, right? And sometimes that can be misconstrued as not paying attention to it. I am definitely paying attention to it. And I have to stop myself and make sure that it doesn't look like I am dismissing how difficult this is.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So, Fran, this has been so good. Where can people learn more about you and the Colorado Technology Association?
Well, coloradotechnology.org is our website, and mm-hmm. you can see all the programming that we're doing. We have been pretty dynamic on the shift, and we did make a hairpin shift. So we have stood up a tremendous amount of digital programming in just the few short weeks. And it's been quite, frankly, kind of easy to make that transition. It's not the same, but... you know, a lot of our programming that we were doing in small groups, we're just doing on Zoom. So that's where you can do it. And I also would say, you know, we have a foundation and we're very passionate about bringing in underserved individuals into technology, because it's such a critical area for our, you know, our economy and for them being able to thrive in the future. So, we're doing something called SheTech, where we're going to be bringing in freshman girls to learn about what's available in tech. Freshman girls and
high school girls.
So, high school girls. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And we're looking at doing that in December. So that's where you can find out more about us. And I guess you can more.
And have you partnered with the Women's Foundation of Colorado at all? I mean, I sit on their board, and I'm just sitting here thinking, gosh. We need to be chatting.
Yeah, we haven't to date. So
okay, you and I will have to take that conversation on and forward with that, because I think that could be a really nice. I know that's a core value, and the work that we're doing is really bringing more training to women in our state that helps them take on higher paying jobs. So I mean, that certainly fits in that realm. So we will have to keep chatting about that.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. And then the final question I always close with are, what three pearls of wisdom can you leave with our audience today?
And I didn't talk too much about it yet, but laugh often.
Yes.
I mean, the world gives a tremendous amount of opportunities for just joy and laughter. And that's kind of how I get through the day. I try to find ways to laugh. I think being kind is the second pearl of wisdom, is just being kind and empathetic. Mm-hmm. And then work hard. Let's work hard.
That's right. Roll up our sleeves and go to town with that. I like it.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Franny. It's been a joy getting to know you a little bit more, and I look forward to getting to know you even further, and look forward to just future conversations that we get to have together.
Awesome. Thanks, Cammie.
You bet. I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business or impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammiegelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.